The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day, all Bills all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
All right, 8-2. Unbelievable. This Bills team that was supposed to be resetting, rebuilding, taking a step back, transition year. Even their GM said that on WGR Sports Radio 550 during training camp. You could take that however you wanted at the time. How I take it now is this team has got a great look at everything that they've wanted in their goals, just like the last several years. It's always game day in Buffalo. Sal Capaccio here with you. Matt Bove on his way back from Indy. Listen, I mean, and I'm not trying to, you know, sound super cool or anything, but this is the benefit of, you know, being the sideline reporter for the Buffalo Bills radio network and being able to fly on the team charter. I was back in my house a half hour before Sunday Night Football kicked off in Buffalo, which is amazing. Now, Matt, can you get out to these cities a little before me and enjoy some more time? I fly out with the team, but getting back so quickly is unbelievable. So that's why he's on his way back and I'm here with you, giving you a little solo recap of what happened in Indianapolis today. 30-20, the Bills take care of business beating the Indianapolis Colts. All right, let's just start with the game itself, then we'll get to big picture. I want to talk about that 8-2 record in a little while here. But first of all, I mean, look, this was never going to be, I think, an easy game, right? Although I felt all week the Bills were a much better team than the Colts. There were some things that kind of scared me about this game from a Bills perspective. First and foremost, the wide receiver position. I mean, this is a team. Josh Allen is throwing to like a wide receiver group that's hanging on with, you know, duct tape and string, basically. He had in this game, Mac Hollins, Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, and then Jalen Virgil, Tyrell Shavers. I mean, they elevated KJ Hamler just to have insurance in case somebody like twists an ankle getting on the airplane, I think, but didn't have to use him. So he didn't play. And it wasn't the best game for Josh Allen. In fact, if you go to my arrow up, arrow down column that I write after every game, it's at WGR550.com. I gave Josh Allen an arrow down. One of the rare times that I do, but I didn't feel Josh played very well. But I also think there are some circumstances of why that is. He went 22 of 37. That's less than 60%, 280 yards, two bad interceptions, did not throw a touchdown pass. He did run for 50 yards. At the end of the day, he still finished with 320 yards of total offense because he's Josh Allen and he could be Superman and make unbelievable plays. And really, that's kind of what the Bills did in this game. They had to rely on making big plays down the field, out of structure, out of pocket for Josh Allen. We've seen him do it so many times. One of them, a really big throw down the field to Dawson Knox early in the game for 34 yards. Another one, huge throw on a third down to Mac Hollins for 44 yards right before the half. Hollins catches it. He has the presence of mind to get up after he's sliding down, get out of bounds, go out of bounds, stop the clock. And then from there, Tyler Bass kicked the field goal. And really, the Bills kind of controlled it from there. It was a great start for the Bills, obviously. Taron Johnson. How good is Taron Johnson? He's unbelievable. Taron Johnson's incredible at his job. I mean, if you take every player in the National Football League and say, like, this guy is the best at his job. I think Taron Johnson might be, he's right up there with anybody. What do you want to say? Patrick Mahomes, fine. Josh Allen, quarterbacks, a running back. Justin Jefferson is what he does at wide receiver. You get the point. Like, he plays his position as good or better than anybody plays their position in the entire NFL. And on the very first play of the game, he drops back. He intercepts Joe Flacco. Like, where's Flacco throwing it? Taron not only intercepts it, has a convoy into the end zone. Great job to kind of navigate through that, get into the end zone. After the game, on the field, he was my post-game radio interview that I grabbed him after the field. And I said, you know, what did you see on that play? Here's how amazingly dialed in he is. He said, well, Miami ran that play, and I didn't play it as well as I wanted to play it. And I really, you know, wanted to make sure that I was better the next time that happened. I mean, obviously, same concept, whatever, but think about that. That's how much film study goes into these kinds of things and how much a guy like Taron Johnson was dialed into making that happen. So the Bills jump out, obviously, to a 7-0 lead, and then they get the ball right back after another turnover, and they're up 10-0. I can't remember exactly what was a turnover on the second time they got, but either way, they're up 10-0 early in this game. And for me, it was, okay, here we go. 10-0 for the Bills. Like, they're gonna basically walk in this one, because I figured, hey, if you can neutralize, if you can get up on this team, the Colts, they're going to be one-dimensional. They can't hand the ball off to Jonathan Taylor then. Can't really rely on him. They're going to have to throw the ball a little bit more to get back in the game. Well, I was wrong, because the Bills made some mistakes. They gave some openings to Jonathan Taylor, and he ran all over them in the first half. We were having visions and nightmares maybe of what happened back a few years ago in Buffalo at Highmark Stadium, when Jonathan Taylor ran for 4 touchdowns, caught another one, had 5 touchdowns in the game, and he was unbelievable. In this one, in the first half, 21 carries, 114 yards, and I'm sorry, this was that first half, he had 16 carries for 107 yards. He was averaging over 7 yards a carry, and it was, you know, he had a 58-yard run. I think it was officially a 58 that it goes down for. I mean, just a tremendous first half, and that's when you started to feel like, okay, here we go again, Jonathan Taylor. Bills do a good job to hold the Colts to a field goal the first time after that Jonathan Taylor run, but then Josh Allen throws an interception. They get the ball back. They come down the field. They score a touchdown. It's 10-10 now in the blink of an eye. Then after another turnover, 13-10, the Colts take the lead. I may be getting my turnovers mixed up here. There were quite a few turnovers in this game. My apologies, but I know that there weren't very many punts. So basically a lot of the change of possession was because of turnovers on each side of the ball. But suddenly, after having a 10-0 lead and controlling this game, the Bills found themselves down 13-10. And that's when you're like, oh, you got to be kidding me. How are you going to let this team off the hook? How are you going to let this thing slip away? Well, they didn't let it slip away, because once that happened, once the Bills were down 13-10, then things started to change. They get the ball late in the first half. And that was really the game defining kind of drive to take back over of this contest. Actually, let's take a look at it. I'll go right to the official game book. The Bills were down 13-10. And here we go. They get the ball. They take how many plays? They go 8 plays, 70 yards, takes them 4-18, and it's capped off with Josh Allen running the ball into the end zone for a touchdown. That was the Dawson Knox play for 34 yards down the field. By the way, on that play, Josh Allen gets thrown out of bounds late. I thought it should have been a penalty. There wasn't. Spencer Brown comes in. He was the one that winds up getting called for it. After that, it's 17-13 Buffalo. Then Indy. This is a sequence, not just that drive. This whole sequence, I think, was the defining sequence of the game. Then Indy gets the ball back. They get to midfield. They have a 4th-and-1. They have a 3rd-and-1, actually, a 3rd-and-1. They give it to Jonathan Taylor. He gets stuffed. Then they go to a 4th-and-1, and I called it. I'm on the field, and I look to one of the security guys next to me. They're all like, oh, 4th-and-1, big play. I said, I think they're going to just try and hard count them and see if they jump off sides. And I think that's such a great, you know, window into the respect that teams might have right now for the Bills and what they're doing in short yardage. The Bills have been very good in defensive short yardage situations on 3rd and 4th down this year. And the Colts broke the huddle for quickly. They get up there, and sure enough, it's a hard count. They don't get the Bills to jump. And what do? They punt the ball to Buffalo. They punt the ball. Maybe that was the punt of death for the Indianapolis Colts, because the Bills now get the ball. They go back down the field again. They get in range. That's Mac Hollins. He catches the ball, get out of bounds. Tyler Bass nails a 47-yard field goal. Now, suddenly, after the Bills were up 10-0,
down 13-10. It's 20-13 at halftime, and you felt like the Bills were in control. Come out in the third quarter, they go three and out, the Colts do. The Bills get the ball back again. Josh Allen actually, the Bills wind up getting, what happened here? Sam Martin. Oh, yeah, I got to talk about Sam Martin in a minute. The Bills punt the ball back to them. Then there's a fumble. Greg Rousseau has a great, really nice day. He causes a fumble. It was back and forth, but ultimately, the Bills wind up getting the next score, which is a field goal from Tyler Bass, and really kind of taking charge of the game. So, look, it was not the easiest, cleanest game. It was a grinded out type of victory. And you have to win games like that sometimes. You're on the road. How many people said this is a trap game for the Bills? I didn't believe it was a trap game. I think that generally Sean McDermott coach teams have this standard of play every time, no matter where they go, what they do. It's kind of like the way that they play week in and week out is pretty standard, pretty consistent. That's the word I always use about Sean McDermott, consistent. And that's what the Bills have been this year at 8-2 now after 10 games. You know, they've won 8 of them. And in this game, yeah, things didn't go their way all the time. I don't think their quarterback played particularly well. I think that they had a lot to, there's probably a lot of things that contributed to that, like I said, with the wide receiver position, but the defense stepped up in a big way. They took the ball away 4 times, and they were really kind of the catalyst for this happening. I talked about arrow up, arrow down. You can go there right now. You can read that, or when you're done listening to this podcast, it's always Game Day in Buffalo video, by the way, at Sal Sports. Thanks a lot for joining us. 4 takeaways. I mean, right at the top of the list. Taron Johnson, his pick 6, a sack for Taron Johnson. This guy, Taron Johnson, became the first defensive back in Bills history on Sunday to have a pick 6 and a sack in the same game. Now, AJ Epenesa did this at linebacker against the Washington Commanders last year, but it's a little easier for a linebacker to get a sack, not a pick 6 necessarily, so give AJ a lot of credit. Taron Johnson, first DB in Bills history to have a pick 6 and a sack in the same game. But the Bills had 3 interceptions in this game. They should have had 2 more because Terrell Bernard dropped 1 and Taron Johnson dropped 1 as well. They had 3 interceptions in this game. One of them, defensive tackle Austin Johnson. I mean, defensive tackle Austin Johnson now tied for the team lead with 2 interceptions. And the joke going around social media is Bills defensive tackle Austin Johnson has as many interceptions in the past 2 weeks as Sauce Gardner has in his career, 2 of them, which is kind of interesting and funny, right, to think about. Well, he gets an interception. Taylor Rapp gets an interception a little bit later. Greg Rousseau has a strip sack that DeMar Hamlin falls on. So, you know, the Bills were just taking the ball away. But then what really happened in the second half wasn't just that the Colts had to play from behind. The Bills did a great job clamping down on Jonathan Taylor. Great job clamping down. After 107 yards rushing on 16 carries in the first half, 7 yards on 5 carries in the second half. 7 yards on 5 carries. That's where I was talking about the 114 he had. That was the total for Jonathan Taylor. 21 for 114, 5.4 yards per carry. They did a great job in the second half on Jonathan Taylor. The closeout drive, though, for the Bills. I just talked about like a couple of the key drives. The Bills, late in this game, they get the ball back with, let me give you the time here. Let's see, 3-4, you get it back to the Bills. Okay, let me scroll up here. It was 9:46 left. 9:46 left in the game. And the Bills are, you know, trying to close this thing out. They have a 23-13 lead. So, yeah, they're in control, but all it takes is a 3-and-out or a turnover. Like Josh had a couple of bad plays that turned into interceptions. At 9:46, they get the ball back. They have 1 3rd down and 8. They wind up getting a first down, a 30-yard pass. For 30 yards. This is Khalil Shakir. Yeah, there we go. Indy 40-yard line, 30 yards. I'm looking at this. This was the little tunnel screen they threw to Khalil Shakir. Then they have a 3rd and 3 at the Indy 13, and Ty Johnson goes for 17 yards to convert a first down. Then they have another 3rd and 3 at the Indy 9. Josh Allen runs for 7 yards to the Indy 2-yard line, and then James Cook takes it in for a touchdown. This was a grinded out 4-minute offense. That's what it's called. There's a difference between 2-minute offense and 4-minute offense. 2-minute offense is run fast, get up to the line, tempo, we got to score in 2 minutes. 4-minute offense is the opposite. That's the term that football people use when you want to kind of grind the game down, slow the clock down, kill the clock, make sure you use up the rest of the clock to win the game. That's what the Bills did on that grinded out, what I'll call a 4-minute offensive drive. Give some real credit here to Sam Martin in the game he had in this one. He punted 2 times. He averaged 54.5 yards per punt. The 2 drives the Colts started, after Sam Martin punts, one at their own 9 and one at their own 3-yard line. Great job by Sam Martin. The Bills played a lot of dime defense in this game. We'll look at the numbers tomorrow, the snap counts. I'm guessing Cam Lewis was out there quite a bit in this one. He actually did a really nice job in coverage, made a couple plays as well. That was a big deal. Quentin Jefferson gets a really big sack. It was a fourth down for the Colts late in the game. Quentin Jefferson, there was a coverage sack. Maybe. I think Cam Lewis, actually one of the guys who had the big coverage on there. Quentin Jefferson does a great job. Welcome back to him into a Bills uniform. Mac Hollins, talked about him a little bit. Dawson Knox, they all stepped up in a big way here. The wide receivers, considering the Bills didn't have Keon Coleman or Amari Cooper in this game. Then Dalton Kincaid gets hurt in this game. He has a knee injury. Hopefully he's okay. He did go back in the game, but then he came back out. He said later in the locker room, I didn't feel like I couldn't really move that well, or it was bothering him, and he couldn't protect himself that well is actually what he said. Now, listen, it wasn't all great, right? Brandon Codrington, a guy that I've been praising here, the punt returner, kick returner, has a big fumble that luckily Alec Anderson fell on. And after the game, I will tell you guys, Alec Anderson, he told me the story about what was going on at the bottom of the pile there. I can't even say the things that Alec Anderson was mad about here on the podcast, but holy cow, you want to talk about what happens at the bottom of a pile? Alec Anderson was telling me about what happened there, and he actually wound up with the ball officially, even though the Colts came out with it and said that they had it, but he luckily was right place, right time after a bad fumble by Brandon Codrington. The red zone offense wasn't that good for the Bills in this game. They were inside the Colts 20-yard line 4 times, only came away with 2 touchdowns. And obviously, you don't want to give up a 10-point lead. They did. The Bills had a 10-point lead with 5:33 left in the first half. They looked in total control, but then that was erased, and they were even down with 6:35 left in the second quarter. So in one full quarter of play, the Bills went from up 10 to down 3. That's something that you just can't have happen. The other interesting part about this game that I was looking at and thinking about, where was Ray Davis? Once again, I don't know why Ray Davis hasn't really touched the ball that much the last couple of weeks. Now, Ty Johnson's done a nice job, so give him credit. And that might be exactly why. But in this one, he carried the ball just 3 times and gained just 6 yards. So I think I'd like to see, I think a lot of us would, Ray Davis run the ball a little bit more. But that didn't happen in this one. We'll see what happens going forward. But I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong that he did. I know there's only one football, and Ty Johnson's earned some of these snaps, right? So you can only have one running back on the field at once. And James Cook wasn't bad in this game. He didn't have an amazing game or anything like that. Ran 19 times for 80 yards, 4.2 yards a carry. I mean, Josh Allen most likely here after week 10, he's not going to be the favorite. He wasn't the favorite going in for MVP, and he's probably going to drop down even a little bit more. He didn't have a great game. 2 for 280, 2 interceptions, no touchdowns. But this team keeps on winning, right? They're 8-2 now. They're 8-2. The Bills are 8-2 for the first time in 31 years.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, think about that for a second. This was supposed to be a step back year. This was supposed to be a transition year. It is a transition year. This is supposed to be a year where people thought they would reset, rebuild. It is unbelievable to me that this team is 8-2. Think about all of the questions we all had. Go back to training camp and how quickly we all forget. A lot of you, you'll be commenting. Make sure you comment here on the YouTube side of things and on, you know, Apple iTunes, Spotify, wherever. You know, I remember comments from people back in August and September. And I'm not even saying you're wrong with these comments of, ooh, worst roster the Bills have had in 4 or 5 years. Oh, man, they have a lot of problems at this position, that position, safety, wide receiver, offensive line, whatever it is. I mean, I remember reading all that. And now all of a sudden they get to 8-2. The last time that happened was the last time we went to the Super Bowl in 1993. I mean, it's hard to go 8-2 in the NFL over 10 games. Really hard. Teams just don't do that routinely. Yes, I know they're playing in a division where, luckily for them, their division opponents are just not that good this year. Well, what are they supposed to do? Call up the NFL and say schedule us harder games every week? I mean, you play who's on your schedule, and those teams are professional football players with professional coaches who get paid. Look, I mean, you could be a team like the Cincinnati Bengals are pretty good. Look at their record, right? I mean, I just think that fans, a lot of fans, Buffalo fans, Bills fans, have kind of lost perspective of here because of how good they've been, like how much success they've had. They've had so much success over the last several years. I think a lot of fans have just lost a lot of perspective about how good it's been, how hard it's been. They're going to win their fifth straight division title. Teams don't do that in the NFL very rarely. I think what the Chiefs are probably going to do it this year. The Patriots did it, you know, for 20 years or whatever. And there was maybe once or twice in there they didn't win, but it's incredibly rare to have this team 8-2 right now. I just think speaks volumes about the front office and the coaching staff. The front office actually still sticking to their plan, saying we're going to be competitive. It might be a little bit different competitive with the guys we have, but we're going to be competitive. And then making some moves that, like, example, I know I just gave him, like, talked about the negative today, but Brandon Codrington, like trading for Brandon Codrington in the offseason, right? Just a little move like that. The offensive line, locking these guys up the last couple of years. They played well this year. Were they perfect today? No, but still another nice day, you know, for keeping Josh Allen pretty clean. Like, just the way that this team is structured, the way the front office has it, and how I've talked about this before. Brandon Bean can draft for the present and the future because of the continuity with the coaching staff and the philosophy of the organization. Guys are developing and they're playing well and they're being called upon. And today was another example. And even guys that came here new are guys that have had to step up. See, Curtis Samuel stepped up today a little bit. Now, it wasn't like great stats at the end of the day, but he was getting the ball thrown to him and catching it early on in the game. I just think it's incredible to think that this team is 8-2 right now, and they have a lot still on their plate of what they can get to, and all their goals are still in front of them, no doubt. But it's going to get very hard, very real, very quickly. I know a lot of you watched and saw what happened with Kansas City. My goodness, the Chiefs. Come on, Broncos. The Broncos could have a walk-off field goal, a chip shot, and the Chiefs block it to remain 9-0. Now, there's one school of thought, like me, that goes, come on. You know what? If the Broncos kick that field goal, next week is for the one seed for the Buffalo Bills. But they didn't. But you know what next week is now? And a lot of you are like, no, I'm glad the Broncos lost that and the Chiefs won. Because if you're thinking maybe the other way, which is the Bills have the chance to be the team that knocks off the Chiefs to give them their first loss this year. Now, it doesn't really mean anything to the playoffs. I get it. We're all going to say that because of the failures of the playoff pass. I understand that. But you still have to be in position to do it. And it still would be great to get a nice win and put yourself a half game outside the one seed. Because the Bills beat the Chiefs next week, that's exactly what they'll be. They'll be 9-2. The Chiefs would be 9-1, and the Bills would have the head-to-head. And then the Bills go on a bye. But the next several games for the Buffalo Bills get very difficult. They have the Kansas City Chiefs at home next Sunday, November 17th, 4:25 p.m. Then there's a bye week. Great. Rest up. That's a great time to have it. Then you get the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday Night Football in Orchard Park. And then two very difficult road games against NFC teams at the Rams in LA and at the Lions in Detroit. And that game against the Lions, by the way, the Lions play the previous Thursday night. They're going to have 10 days to prepare for the Bills. So, I mean, these are going to be really tough games. But I think the Bills learned a lot today the way they beat Indy. They grinded out a win. This was not a blowout win. I mean, how many times did we talk about for a few years that the Bills only won blowout games and they lost all the close ones? And that wasn't necessarily true. They did win some close ones, But this is the kind of game you have to win once in a while. You just have to gut it out, grind it out, and you come up with a few plays here or there. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs are 9-0. They're 9-0. But look at their wins. They win by 2 points in a blocked field goal this week. They won by 6 points against the Buccaneers, 7 against the Raiders. They beat the 49ers by 10. You go back to the Chargers game with 7 points. The Falcons was 5. The Bengals was 1. The Ravens were 7. They're playing one score games every week, but they're winning. But that's part of the, look at the Chiefs. You can be frustrated as you want that, oh my God, how they keep winning like this. But they've learned to win games like that. You have to. You have to learn to kind of figure out. Like last year, I said this months ago, maybe last year was the step back here for the Bills, not this year. I mean, look at last year's schedule for the Buffalo Bills and the games that we think, okay, they should have won. They blew it kind of at the end, right? This was the Patriots game where Mac Jones comes down. They have the touchdown at the end of the game. They lose to the Denver Broncos like that at the end of the game. The Philadelphia Eagles like that at the end of the game. Like these are games the Bills couldn't close out. Today was different. Today they closed it out. It wasn't beautiful, but it was a win. They're 8-2 for the first time in 31 freaking years, right? All right, so real quick before we head on out of here, take a look at the standings. The Bills, 8-2 in the AFC East. The Jets, 3-7. The Patriots, 3-7. The Dolphins, 2-6. The Bills have a 5.5 game lead with only 7 weeks to play. It's incredible. So I don't know. Everybody asked me, what's the earliest they can clinch the division? I'm not really sure. At this point, we know they're going to win the division, right? Barring, knock on wood, a sort of calamity with injuries and, you know, something like that happening. They're going to win the division. Now it's about what seeding you're getting. Pittsburgh with a nice win over the Commanders today. The Steelers go to 7-2. They're the 3 seed right now. Now, as I talk to you, Sunday Night Football, Houston's beating Detroit. They're going to stay right there. They've already beaten the Bills. They're at 6-3. A win there puts them at 7-3. So next week's a big week to not get to your third loss because the Steelers might only have 2 and the Houston Texans might only have 3, but they've beaten you already. So it's, again, getting a little bit tricky here. Baltimore, 7-3. They're in a wild card right now because of not being the top team in their division, and they've already beaten the Bills head-to-head. So you just got to keep stacking wins, as they say, and playing your best football on a week-to-week basis. It's a week-to-week league. Next week's also big because it's a conference game. And if it comes down to conference, you know, records, like for example, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Bills don't play the Steelers. If they wind up tied and the Steelers win the division and the Bills do, goes down to conference record. So that's why these games are important as you go forward. But right now, the Bills sit at the 2 seed in the AFC. Okay, real quickly, injuries. I talked about Dalton Kincaid. He had a knee injury. He left the game. Went back in, came back out. We'll have to see what his status is going forward. Spencer Brown kind of twisted his ankle a little bit. Looked like he did go back into the game. That's one we'll be watching as well. I think otherwise, the only guys we'll be talking about all week are the guys who missed, Amari Cooper and Keon Coleman specifically and mostly. And obviously, we know that Sean McDermott had said Keon Coleman, it could be a multiple week injury, but they didn't put him on IR, which is really good. So I don't know. Maybe Keon doesn't play next week. We get one of those guys back. Get Amari back to really help the offense. I mean, it was tough today with the receiving core they had, but the Bills wound up pulling it out. 8-2 on the season. All right. Thanks a lot to my producer, Mike Robbie. Safe travels home to Matt Bove. Him and I will be talking to you as this week goes on. You can find Matt at WKBW TV Channel 7. You can find me on WGR Sports Radio 550. You can always find It's Always Game Day in Buffalo at the Sal Sports YouTube page, which, by the way, thank you. Thank you so much. 10,000 subscribers. Really appreciate that. We've worked really hard to get there. We're there now. It's only onward and upward. Thanks a lot for downloading, subscribing, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you pod. Make sure you like us, review us, and tell us how great we are because we do this for you and your passion about the Buffalo Bills. Bills Mafia, by the way, in Indy, amazing. Awesome stuff. Check out the video I posted at Sal Sports on Twitter about that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.